I'm very happy now to welcome Barry McIntosh. He is executive director of Young Fathers Santa Fe. They are having a Young Fathers annual Father's Day celebration this Sunday, the 15th of June, at the Children's Museum from 1 to 4 in the afternoon. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much, Mary Charlotte, for having me on. I very much appreciate it, and it's very apropos since Father's Day is this Sunday. And let me just mention, this event is totally free.
Excellent.
Free for everybody. So free food, thanking Panda Express, and free entrance into the museum, jumpy house, car show, DJ, workshop, all sorts of great things.
Excellent. We like free. So Young Fathers, what's it all about?
Young Fathers of Santa Fe is, in fact, it's misnamed a little bit. It's not just about young fathers, it's about young fathers of experience. So in fact, there's no age group that we serve. It's just anybody that wants to be involved in their children's life in a healthy way. A lot of our guys are very young, and they need probably a lot more help and a lot more guidance.
It's very tricky to know how to become a good father or how to become a good parent if you haven't had good role models.
That's exactly the key. Most of our guys have had either absent fathers for whatever reason or fathers that haven't been great. And we see that. There's a higher incidence of teen pregnancy when fathers actually are not around. Both for girls and for guys. But, you know, when you haven't had great role modeling, you don't really know how to do it. So even though the statistics of young parents or young fathers, they're not very involved in their kids' life, according to the numbers, but they want to be. They just don't know how. So we provide, hopefully, some mentoring, some guidance, some support, so that they can be the fathers that they want to be and show them how along the way.
So what's going on? I mean, we are, I believe, number one in the country for teen pregnancy. Why is that?
Well, I think that's a whole bunch of different reasons. But we know education is key, and giving, treating kids, not necessarily like adults, but giving them adult information so that they can process that and helps them become more responsible and behave more like responsible adults. So I think key is education. Accurate information, and we certainly, our schools have done a great job over the past in giving that information, but it still, you know, needs a lot of support and access to good information, and if they're going to become sexually active, access to good choices that they have.
Including contraception.
Absolutely, including contraception. And contraception can be, you know, abstinence. So contraception is just anything that prevents pregnancy. So contraception could be not having sex. But if they become sexually active, then they have maybe need to know what their other choices are.
You have a background in Planned Parenthood.
Yep.
So you saw sort of on the front lines, I would imagine, a lot of teen pregnancy and all the issues around that.
Absolutely. You know, I was in charge of education in Santa Fe, so I'm very strong with education. And it was good. You know, the kids wanted to know this information so that they could make appropriate choices for the rest of their lives.
What about abortion? I mean, it's almost like the anti-abortion forces have been so strong that it doesn't even come up as an item of conversation or as one of the choices.
Well, it's a conversation that is very... that people are uncomfortable having because it's so divisive, you know. But the kids do want to talk about it, and it does come up in conversation. But it's such a personal choice, so it's really very much down to what their beliefs are, what they're okay with, what they're not okay with.
And what they can afford and what's covered by insurance and what their parents will...
Access. Yeah. A lot of it is access to, you know, if there was access to all forms of birth control early on, then there probably wouldn't be quite so much need for abortions or abortion choices later.
So meanwhile, there's a need for education, and yet we have a very high rate of teen pregnancy. These young women carry their babies to term at the age of 14, 15, 16, whatever.
Yep.
And then suddenly there is a young mother and a young father who don't have careers,
right.
Don't necessarily have a whole lot of education. What do they do?
Well, that's why I say Santa Fe's done a great job, actually, because my wife used to run the Teen Parent Center and then was the nurse at the Teen Parent Center at Santa Fe High School for many, many years. In fact, she was there for about 16, 17 years. And to provide support for these young parents to gain an education, to graduate high school, to get into college so that they have economic choices. It's such an impact to have a child at a young age with regards to poverty. If you have two children at a young age, then it's almost a certainty that the rest of your life you'll be in poverty. So that was one of the goals, was to prevent or delay that second pregnancy, both for ourselves and for the Teen Parent Center at Santa Fe High. So that's a real goal for us, to get hold of the guy as soon as possible, let him know what's going on with his partner during the pregnancy, because that's kind of crazy changes going on, how he can deal with that relationship, how he can deal with the relationship with her parents, which is sometimes very much pushing him away, how he can be involved and delay that second pregnancy. So just focus on that and focus on his education, stay in school, get a good education so he's got choices.
When you have these young fathers, I would guess the young woman who they had a child with isn't necessarily the partner that they would have chosen as a lifelong companion.
Yeah, I think you're right. I don't think that's always kind of thought about when they're having sex. You know, oh, is this going to be the parent of my child? Is this right. Going to be good? So dealing with that issue is important. Knowing how that, even if they don't stay together, and young relationships don't stay together for that reason and other reasons, but they're always going to be parents to that child, and be able to co-parent and be able to do that in a healthy way for their child, and also allows them to, you know, have a life themselves.
And so how do you counsel them? How do you help them to do that? Because that's very challenging, because, I mean, not only do they not have jobs and careers, they're kids. They're not mature. I mean, a lot of 30-year-olds aren't mature.
Absolutely. One of the things that I try to do is tell people that they're not going to be 15 for the rest of their life. So if we can get them through the year of 15, the year of 16, the year of 17, the year of 18, and keep going with that, then they will become more and more mature, more and more responsible, and be able to handle this crazy life that's they've been they have. So it's really about understanding what's going on with them at their time of life, at their point of development, but also understanding how this is going to impact the child and the relationship. So we teach parenting skills, but they're really relationship skills. So it's very much basic communication skills. We teach all of our guys, my case managers and myself, are trained in communication skills. We're parent educators. Just did a 2-day seminar workshop for motivational interviewing. So we really look at all the different modalities of communication, how we can share this with our guys. But then we've also got to help this guy. You know, maybe he's got to find a job, so we help him find a job. Maybe he's navigating the legal system because he's not able to see his kid, so we help him navigate that. Maybe he's referred by the courts to us because there's some domestic violence, or he's, you know, not doing well. So we kind of guide him through that. So there's, you know, many, many different ways that these guys, we help them mature. We help them become more and more responsible adults.
How long have you been doing this?
I've been doing this work for over 14 years in Santa Fe.
And so people who were 15 then are real adults now.
Absolutely.
Tell us some stories of what you've seen.
Well, it's kind of cool. I sometimes see the guys, you know, walking around the street, or sometimes they're still involved, you know, because we've had a Thursday night group for about the last 14 years. Now, prior to Young Fathers of Santa Fe, I was working for an organization called New Mexico Young Fathers Project. When that ran out of funding, I started my own because the need was still there. But I have one guy, and yeah, his child is now, I think, 12 or 13. He, and in fact, on this Father's Day event at the Children's Museum, his son is going to be DJing on the lawn.
Nice.
And it's really sweet. So this guy I met when his girlfriend and he were pregnant. They are still together as a couple. Unbelievable. He went through the Teen Parent Center. She went through the Teen Parent Center. They graduated, and he's raising his child. He's a local DJ in town, and he's passed it on to his son. And his son is now DJing for us on the Father's Day celebration, which is just, oh, man, what a great story. And it's great to see this progress.
That's a great story indeed. We're talking to Barry McIntosh, Executive Director of Young Fathers here in Santa Fe. It's also true that children who come from fatherless homes or fathers of young children where it's not working out so well have much tougher challenges than other people in society.
Absolutely. The numbers are staggering. And the amount of influence that the lack of father around is amazing. Homelessness, domestic violence, drug abuse, running away from home, dropping out of school, even infant mortality. If the father is not around during the pregnancy, there's a higher instance that that child's going to die of infant mortality. Which is just came out. Well, we don't. This study only came out a couple of years ago, so they're really examining this right now. It looks like it's about stress. If the mother has greater stress and doesn't have a partner that supports her, then that can be more detrimental health-wise. So, but Margaret Mead, the wonderful anthropologist, said that the most important task of any civilization is to teach its young men how to be fathers. You know, that's an astonishing quote. The most important thing? Oh, come on.
What do you think that means?
Well, because of all those things that fatherlessness affects. So the real is, you know, if you could do one thing that would affect homelessness, dropout, drug abuse, criminal activity, violence against women, you know, wouldn't you do it? And that one thing is encourage, support, healthy fathering.
You said something at the beginning which was very interesting, which is that a lot of these young men, teenagers, they don't know how to be fathers. They don't know how to be good fathers. They don't have the role models of good fathers, but they want to be. And one thing they do have is a whole lot of energy.
Yes. And that's one thing that I think is misunderstood by the general population, because they see young teen dads, deadbeat dads. We have that term, deadbeat dads, which is just horrible. We see these guys not involved. It's not that they don't want to be. They really want to be. They just don't know how. So over the years, and working with probably, you know, 1,500, 2,000 young guys, I've only met two guys that didn't want to be involved. I think one had such significant mental issues that he just didn't have the concept down. The other one could not deal with the baby mama in any way, shape, or form, so therefore didn't want to participate. But everyone else wants to be. You know, so that's great. That's very encouraging. And as you say, they've got that young energy, and they are so open to guidance.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a parent educator. I did parenting in Santa Fe for many years, still does through this. But, you know, I would have parents of adolescents come to me and say, okay, you know, how can I do this? And I go, oh, man. Now I have to kind of teach them to unlearn their old habits and then learn new habits. With these young parents, man, they just want to soak it up.
So what are some of the specific skills? I mean, you talked about communication. What else?
Well, that's a basic skill, because if he can understand himself and his partner and have those skills on to be able to listen to her, but also to express himself in I messages and listen, active listening or reframing or mirroring, then that's going to be a great basic. But there's other skills as well, of course. And understanding child development. Understanding what his child is likely to go through. Understanding what his partners go through during pregnancy. You know, my wife, during labor and delivery with our first baby, she told me to leave the room.
Yeah.
And as I walked out, she said, where on earth do you think you're going? Yeah. So I was told to do one thing, but in fact, she meant something else. So that's helpful in the next 37 years of our marriage. Whatever she says is sometimes not always what I understand her to mean. So I think, but there's other skills. There's like interviewing skills, job skills, being able to understand what schooling is all about. You know, when I would go into the schools and teach sex ed, I'd say, this is practical information. This is information you're going to use. Your teachers are teaching you stuff that you may never use, but they're teaching you how to learn. Now, that's a really important skill. You know, calculus, you may never use that again, but they're training your brain to learn. That's helpful. But this stuff is practical stuff, so they need practical stuff.
I remember taking a college child development course, and I thought, every person in the United States of America should learn this, because there are so many things that really nobody knows unless you learn them or unless you've spent a lot of time around children and been extremely observant. For example, very small children or infants can't understand cause and effect.
Right.
And at a certain point, they learn cause and effect.
Yeah.
Children throw things out of high chairs, not because they don't want them, but because it's fun to throw them.
That's right. That's
and
right.
And you see, so once you learn that stuff, you see, for example, in supermarkets, I don't know why it's always in supermarkets, parents yelling at their children for doing things that are developmentally appropriate to that age. And it's you want to say something to them, but you
that's
can't.
Right. That's right. Well, and that's one of the little things that we say, and this is about communication. You know, and I've seen this happen. You go to a restaurant with the family, and the family leaves the restaurant, and the kid says, "I'm hungry." And the parents say, "You can't be hungry. You just ate." Well, I'm sorry. If the kid's hungry, you know, it doesn't make any sense to you, but if they're hungry. So it's about allowing that child to have those feelings at that time. And that's what we teach. You know, so, wow, you're hungry, even though we just ate. How strange is that? But if you're hungry, you're hungry. You know? So allowing them to have that, and that's great parenting skills.
So when you are working with young fathers, what is the role of the young mothers in this work?
Well, we try to bring the young mothers in as well. I'm a childbirth educator and a doula, and so I want to reach the young couple early in their pregnancy, and therefore I can prepare them, do some childbirth preparation classes with them, especially on the father's role or the coach's role supporting her. So if we can involve them as a whole family, we certainly can. We certainly do that as we're allowed to do or as time permits. But sometimes we have absolutely no contact with the mother, with the partner. And so we really have to let the guy know, you know, one person can change a relationship. You know, she may not have these skills of communication that we share with him or his understanding, but if he does, it can change the relationship. So we'd love for the girl to be involved, but doesn't always happen.
You must also witness that process of the young man falling in love with his own child.
Oh, this is one of our kind of keystones. We want to meet the guy as early in the pregnancy as possible because we want to maintain that relationship through to birth. I want that guy to be there at birth because amazing things happen at birth. You know, everyone knows that. For women, it's amazing and huge changes. But for guys, it's really catch-up time. I didn't really know what was going on until I held my daughter for the first time. Then I figured it out. You know, now, I had a medical background. My wife was a nurse, you know. So you'd think I'd get it, but I didn't because I'm visual, and a lot of guys are visual. So we want him in that delivery room holding his child within the first half an hour so that he can bond and connect. Because what happens in guys is testosterone drops by about a third. So testosterone drops. So that is a protective factor, we think, a biological protective factor. So he's not going to be aggressive, not going to be violent towards his child. So that protects his child. But also prolactin, the hormone that causes lactation, causing breast milk, goes up in guys and stays up for a few months after birth. The same with estrogen in guys. So we've now got these nurturing, connecting hormones that we've never really had before in these quantities. So when we hold our children for the first time, stare into their eyes, and their eyes stare back at us, massive changes goes on. And that's the foundation for the rest of his parenting life. And if he stays involved in childcare, actually testosterone stays lower the longer he stays in interacting with his child. So I want that to have that effect on those guys.
What causes those hormonal changes in the men?
We're not really sure. I'm not really sure about that. I know it's a visual stimulus. For me personally, it was a visual stimulus. I know that. And I think we're getting maybe that visual stimulus earlier in the pregnancy through more effective and easier ultrasounds. I was just talking to the folks at La Familia, and they said, we're seeing more guys come in when the girl wants an ultrasound because the guy wants to see his child. And so I've had this happen many times. They said, "Barry, want to see a picture of my kid?" And I'm thinking, hold on, kid's not due yet for a few months. He said, "Oh, no, I've got an ultrasound picture." You know, so he's very proud of that.
Right.
And that visual stimulus, I'm sure, is triggering connection.
And I have to say, I mean, if those hormonal changes are happening in those young men, they're a whole lot less likely to go into some kind of gangster life or things like that.
Exactly. In fact, if they've had some gang affiliations before, it can be a way of them not necessarily leaving, but diminishing their activity, because gangs, to some degree, respect families and respect a guy's wanting to take care of his family. So that's a way of kind of stepping away from that to some degree if he's taking care of his child.
You are based here in Santa Fe. Are there similar types of activities going on in other parts of the state?
There are some things going on in other parts of the state. Española has a program that we, in fact, helped support in its early days through Los Cumbres. They have their fatherhood program there. New Mexico Young Fathers Project is still active in Las Cruces and to some degree in Albuquerque as well. And in fact, I just supported a guy starting a father's group in Bernalillo. So there are some things going on, not enough, but there are some things going on.
Have you found that the young fathers, I mean, you gave the example of the DJ, but is it common that young fathers then turn around and give back to other younger fathers?
Yeah, we see this a lot of the time. Part of our networking is young fathers telling other guys, oh, come on into this group, you know, these guys have some great information and can support you and help you out and stuff. So, in fact, we've got a program called a Promotora, a community health worker program, where we teach young guys about resources within the community so that they can share that information with their cousins, their families, their neighbors, and other guys in school. Plus, we have a prevention angle as well, where we bring maybe some of the young guys to talk to younger guys that aren't fathers about prevention. And in fact, we run two high-risk groups at Ortiz Middle School, and that's all about prevention. But it's also about these young 7th and 8th graders really getting a sense of themselves and a sense of community and influencing their own community.
If somebody wants to join the Thursday night group, how do they do so?
Just show up.
Where is it?
It's at Initiate Skate Shop. It's at the new Initiate Skateboarding Shop, which is in the Design Center.
Oh, okay.
Which is cool. It's a great location. It runs every Thursday from 6 until 7. And they can just drop in. But anybody can give me a call or any of our guys a call, and we can slot them in.
What's the number at which they can reach you?
My number is area code 505-699-7431. And they can just call me at any time. All I need is a name and number. I don't like to call guys cold calling because I don't want to surprise them. So if we can get the okay from the guy for us to call, then we'll make the call. And all of our services are bilingual as well. So we have a bilingual case manager.
Barry McIntosh is executive director of Young Fathers here in Santa Fe. And the Father's Day celebration is this weekend, this Sunday, from 1 to 4 at the Santa Fe Children's Museum. And as you mentioned at the beginning of the program, everything is free, food and activities, and
yeah, if I
can jumpy just house. I don't suppose adults can go into the jumpy house.
No, we don't allow adults in the jumpy house. You're absolutely
I've
right.
I've always wanted to go into a jumpy house.
Well, maybe if you come down, Mary Charlotte, we'll maybe close it off just for you.
Just kidding.
But the free food is given by Panda Express. Last year they served over 500 meals, and that was great. And our supporters are obviously the Santa Fe Children's Museum, because this is our third year in a row with them. And they've just been great. The Brindle Fund at the Santa Fe Community Foundation is supporting us, and they have been so, so supportive of young fathers. Santa Fe Boys Educational Fund, they're supporting us, and they've been great. Southwest Cares, and Beaver Toyota is coming down with a truck and a big blow-up beaver and some giveaways. And, in fact, the fire department should be bringing down one of their trucks if they don't have any forest fires, which hopefully we won't have with the rain that we're getting.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
And, well, it's just great to have you, and we look forward to Sunday at the Children's Museum. For more information, people can also go to youngfathersofsantafe.org. Barry McIntosh, thank you so much for being with us here on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. Have a great Father's Day.
You too.